Most businesses won't grow this year.
If your business is not growing by 3.4%, your business is dying.
In the 5 years we've been in business, we've been consistently growing over the market rate.
Here are the four bottlenecks that we had to overcome to grow our business, and you will too.
The last one is something that everyone forgets. If you're not growing, or if you want to continue growing, stay tuned to the very end. So the number one bottleneck that most people have to overcome is generating leads.
How do I know if I need to generate more leads?
If less than 70% of your event inventory is going out that week, then you probably have a lead problem. This is when you really need to focus on getting that number up to at least 85 to 90%, specifically during the busy times. But during the slow times, kind of just want to keep getting more leads so you can get above 75%.
What are some ways rental businesses can get leads?
There are three ways to generate leads. The first one is cold outreach. The basic component is that you reach out to businesses, event planners, venues, and anything kind of in the event industry who uses your services.
We created a partnership guide, and it's kind of like a pamphlet that tells our partners everything that we're offering them if they decide to partner with us. So we have things from like discount tiers, we have a catalog of everything we offer, and even some additional services that we could offer these business partners as long as they're with us.
One of my favorite parts about this right here is the gallery at the very end. It kind of shows a lot of the work that we've done. We have our guy Muhammad who goes and get our leads. If you don't have your own Muhammad to generate you leads, a good thing you can do is use this one service. It's called Lead Kits. You can get 1,000 leads and you can reach out to them and they check the verification of them. But check the link down below. Now the second way to get clients is through SEO. For most people in most areas, not saying for everybody, not saying if you're in New York or Chicago, if you just have these pages that we're going to list right now, then you'll be okay. The first page is going to be, you want to have actual product page. When Eddie searches on the computer, it needs to show up as white garden chairs from Eddie Rentals. You want to have a category page. This is the category pages would be like tent rentals, people rentals, whatever you're renting out, whatever, don't really matter. Then on your tent rentals, it'll show up as your tent page, and then that'll be a page that can show up. So when people search for looking to rent tents, then that page will show up. Really good ones are going to be location pages. So these are going to be your service area pages. So you might have one of these for every single city that you service. One that we just kind of like got more into is like the use case ones. So it'll be like how you should use them. So if you're doing a karaoke, you'll patch all this stuff together. And my favorite one out of all those right there is going to be the actual event types. You might see a couple of the bigger providers have these right here. But when you search for wedding rentals in your areas, or you search for birthday party rentals, you have a specific page for each one of these that show up. And then you can get those traffic from it. But just literally having the pages there will allow you just to get more searches than everything like that. Because a lot of people, a lot of rental companies don't have these right here. And people are still searching for this, but they don't have these things to show up. Then once you get past that, if you're in a more deep area, you want to make sure you build your backlinks up, set up on all the directories, write a couple blog posts, cross-reference the links and stuff together. If you need help, just reach out to us. We can kind of help you and point you in the right direction. Now, my favorite one, by far, is ads. I remember when I met Eddie at first, he was kind of like, you know, I was like, Eddie, we got to spend money on ads. He was like, give me your money, Eddie.
Like,
he said,
how much?
No.
How much a day?
No.
I'm going to go bankrupt.
Ads are kind of like you can win now type situation. You can set the ads up and then 6 hours later, you can start winning and killing it. Now, you got to make sure you have a couple things set up. Keywords got to be properly set up. If someone searches for bounce house rentals, you shouldn't have something that shows up as tent rentals on there. Now, the last thing you're going to want to focus on is getting your landing pages set up. You want to make sure you have your conversion tracking on. Make sure your landing pages are consistent across the board. Just making sure they have a call to action and then wait for someone to submit a quote. And also make sure you have that phone number up there.
And if you're scared of ads, you're like, I don't know what to do, never fear. The Rental Boys are here. Check the link in the description. And we actually offer in our ad services that we currently run for multiple businesses. A lot of good features out there to help out the new upcoming businesses. Or even if you've been running for a while and you want to optimize and increase the leads, click the link in the description. Everything's there.
When me and Eddie first met, I promised Eddie a website. And I was like, hey, your website's not working for you. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get you a website.
But then he gave me something even better. Our website.
Yep. Then that's how we kind of joined the forces. And we've been kicking it ever since. I was like, I need money. He was like, I need money too.
According to a survey by Event Marketer, 81% of event professionals said that word of mouth is their most effective form of event promotion. And if leads is your number one issue for your business, please comment leads below.
And if you haven't already, make sure you go ahead and get the ultimate checklist. And you heard statistics, 81% of businesses need that referral. So make sure you go ahead and refer this to a friend, reach out to somebody, check out our reviews on there, add some reviews, 5 stars only though. We're getting graphics for you guys, you know, who maybe like to scam a little bit. This will save you so much time and money on certain issues that me and Eddie just face. And we keep updating because we keep having issues. And you know what the best part of this is?
It's free.
Free. And you know what they say? If it's free, take 3. So now that you got some leads, now we need to convert these leads into sales. Because leads that don't turn into dollars don't mean nothing.
So how do I know if I need to work on converting more of my leads?
So the first thing you need to do to make sure you know if you don't work on converting your leads. First of all, you need to make sure you have enough leads. Now that you've done that, you need to at least, at the bare minimum, convert 20%. A lot of leads that you're getting currently right now. Our running total right now is at 35%. It's kind of like the average with the leads currently at this state right now. And that includes leads for very far in the future, but also to just leads that come in. What's ours kind of like a basic version of our sales process?
Yeah, so we basically have 3 things that we do very well. We have a very quick response. We ask for the sale, and then we always follow up.
Like when we say follow up, I don't mean like call them once.
I keep going until I hear a no.
They're either going to work with you or they're going to say, don't call me no more. And you want to follow up to one of those happens. Because even when they say yes, you're still going to follow back up to them next year too. And you're not calling people multiple times and reaching back out to them. You're probably leaving money on the table. And I know a lot of you guys out there aren't doing that. Now, because I remember at the very beginning,
we were always running around like chicken with their head cut off. Me and Xero would be out doing deliveries. And sometimes when you're moving around, you can't feel your phone vibrating or ringing because you're in the zone.
50 missed calls.
And the next thing you know, 20 minutes pass, you call them back. And, oh, I already went with somebody else. And you're like, oh, heartbroken because you're like, oh, well, I have to do these deliveries and all these other tasks. I can't really optimize the customer sales. So we added a team member with us, did a lot of callbacks, follow-ups, and then we basically broke down the process that me and Xavier were doing at the time. From there, we saw that business is booming, so we just kept adding more people into our team.
If you're doing that, a lot of stuff, and you're making over a couple $1,000 a week, you really should look at to getting someone to help you on the phones. We have some people that are in the Philippines. It works amazingly. You'd be very surprised. Reach out to us. We'll try to patch you into somebody.
So according to a study by HubSpot, businesses that excel at lead nurturing generate 50% more sales-ready leads at a 33% lower cost.
Let me give you guys a quick pointer on this right here. Now, if you're like pounding the pavement, you're doing everything you're supposed to do, you're doing the follow-up, reaching back out on a regular basis, and it still seems like you're getting the same answers over and over, like, no, your price is too high, no, you're out of the area I'm going to be in. Like, you have to come up with a solution and some type of thing to answer these questions every single time when they bring up. So these are just objections that people are bringing in front of you, and we got to be able to resolve these rejections. Like, if I'm talking to Eddie, and then they say, Eddie, I just feel like your prices are too high.
Basically, I would say, well, what do you feel comfortable with paying for the value that I bring you?
And then I will be like, whatever amount they say.
Yep. And then I would go through like, okay, well, what if we just took this away and we would meet you your price point? Would that work out?
But one of the things I learned from Eddie is that when you take dollars away, you have to take stuff away from them. Like whatever you do, like you have to be transitioned. It can't be like you give and then they get the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. You need to have something that is given back. Even if it's in the form of review, a testimony, a reach out, the more you give to them, the more they need to become less of a risk to have an issue with the business too. Mm-hmm. I know some of our bigger amounts that we have for some of our orders, like we'll have an order that's like $7,000, literally. So it'll be $6,000 for that. But like with our deliveries, gas and stuff, just those main parts right there might be like $500 we spend. Realistically, we can win the job at $5,000. And before, we wouldn't go down to $5,000. But now that we know our numbers and know the range and we know that we're trying to at least get 8 times our gross margins so we can have that profit to actually be able to use. When a lot of people are sticking to those numbers, and I know people say like, oh, you're doing more work for less money. But the thing is though, like if you were only doing this job once and you don't get that job back out, then really you just lost the money. If you make $10,000 and you make $8,000 profit, mm-hmm. like that sounds good, but you still only made $8,000. I would rather take the pie where I make $1 million and then I keep 50%, 30%. It's just more than what you're making there. You want to be like 6 to 10 times more than your gross profit. Mm-hmm. That is the minimum. So like if you're doing a deal and you need to come down a little bit, especially if you're not in the busy season, you need to take these jobs because this is just money that you can keep making over and over. I don't want you to be out there too much. I'm like, oh, my price is my price. But like that doesn't matter when you still only make $20,000 when you could be making $150,000 because you went from maybe your gross margins were at 80% and now they're at 65%.
Yeah.
So comment sales below if this is your number one issue.
Now that you're converting over 20% of your leads into sales and preferably you're working your way into the 30%, now we need to go to the other issue, which is inventory. Do you have enough?
How do I know if I need to get more inventory or more tools for me to continue my business?
Super easy. If you're hitting the first two, generating the lead, converting leads into sales, and then you look in your warehouse or wherever you're storing your items and it's nothing, it's empty space, that means you need more inventory. One thing I would say is do not do, if you have nothing but bounce houses and they're all selling out, don't go back and say, you know what, I need tents now. Just keep doing what's selling out. So add more bounce houses or vice versa. If you had, you know, nothing but tents, don't buy a bounce house. And because if you do, then I'm going to jump in there with a knife and start cutting your bounce house up. Nah, just playing. But
now, if you're losing jobs, we have a demand sheet.
Yeah.
Basically, the jobs that you lose based off not having certain inventory. When you're going through the process, if it takes something that costs you $40 to make the deal, to go ahead and buy it. If it's in the profit margins and you still come out ahead, or if it's one of the purchases that's on your list at the beginning of the year that you wanted to buy, then you can go ahead and check it off and you can go ahead and get it and let someone else pay for it.
Why is it important to have enough inventory and equipment?
Well, the obvious, if you have enough, then you can make more money. If you don't have enough, then you would have to figure out either A, where you're going to need to buy this item, or B, sub-rent it from somebody else. That way you can fulfill the customer's needs.
We were sub-renting stuff from Big D. We happen to have this weird kind of month thing where, like, me trying to beat Michael Jordan, Tamar Pantella up, so I couldn't walk. Eddie somehow gets pneumonia. And we were doing all this sub-renting, and we ended up having some of our guys return some chairs back, which we didn't really understand, to the wrong location. And we didn't get those chairs back. And if we were running around too much and we had enough inventory so we couldn't have the sublease, we had to have situations on that time. We only had 140 by 40, and we were flipping that 140 by 40 sometimes up to three times a week, from putting it up during the week for like a business and then sending it up on Friday, then taking it out on Sunday morning, putting it back up, and then taking it down Monday, and then starting the whole process again and having to put it back up on Tuesday. That right there sounds good. You're like, oh, I'm making a lot of money off this tent. We were still at that time just not getting all the customers we were supposed to get either, because people were coming in asking for more of them, but we couldn't do it. We should have raised our prices up a little bit more and then just did more of them across the board. We basically had these tents and we had nowhere to put them up easily.
Monster tents. I think it was like 40 by 60s and like 80s. 40 by 80s.
120.
And yeah, 40 by 120, that was the worst, but we had to do it all by hand. We didn't have any tent jacks or anything. It was something else. I mean, like, you get five guys on one corner, get that one leg up and you just work your way all the way down. The equipment, we could have cut like hours upon hours of time and then grunting. And then also that thought in your mind that says, do I really want to be doing this? So it was backbreaking. And at certain points in the time, you're like, is this guy even pushing? Like, I'm over here giving it my all.
We have a little area. I call it Eddie's closet. We have a whole bunch of tools, all the tools you can think about. Literally, we can almost fix anything. But every other time, maybe like once a quarter, Eddie be like, we don't got this tool. I need this. And then he goes, gets it. And now we have it. And then the time gets spread apart. I mean, one time a week, we didn't have a screwdriver at one point.
According to a study by Eventbrite, the most popular party rental equipments are tables, chairs, and linens.
Even with us, most of our inventory is tables and chairs and linens. The bigger events are the main thing that they're going to want is the tables, chairs, and linens.
And please comment inventory below if this is your number one issue at the moment.
If you're currently looking for a new business banking that you can do all online, look no further. Novo Banking. We currently use this right now for two of our businesses that we have set up completely virtual, all online. You can deposit checks through the bank. It allows you to get your money faster through Stripe. As we've seen, basically, it usually takes Stripe's 2 days, basically 48 hours. You can get your money with Novo in 24 hours. If you're looking to sign up, join the link down below. You can sign up down there. And also, too, it's free to start, and it's a great way to get your business bank account set up. Your warehouse is stacked full of inventory, ready to go out. Now you're probably thinking, like, what's next?
All right. So what's next is work capacity. You want to make sure that you're able to put out every inventory that you have in there. So the first thing is, how do I know if I'm lacking in work capacity?
Well, if you're having less than a 97% success rate, that would be a big indicator that you're lacking on work capacity. Just like when you're servicing customers, and we'll say that you're arriving late, or the orders are taking longer than they need to be. You're using more hours, which means dollars that you have to pay for labor. That would all result into having a lower success rate.
And an easy way to identify this is if you have 3 or more issues for every 100 orders that you're making. And this is either for delivery or just whenever they're picking up too. So next, what you need to know is what are the factors that are affecting your work capacity and what could you do to fix that?
Number one issue that you will probably run into is going to be vehicles.
I hate them. It's a love-hate situation on those vehicles. But realistically, vehicles is one of the major issues as far as work capacity goes, because generally what happens is you get a huge surplus of clients and now you have a lot of work to get done. Sometimes your fleet can't handle that. So you're going to need to add more vehicles there. And then the worst thing that happens is a vehicle breaks down. And now the numbers of deliveries you can successfully do in a day, it goes down.
The wider spread your area is, the more vehicles you're going to need to hit those areas, because your biggest thing becomes travel time between the two areas. Mm-hmm. And so that's like, you have to kind of fight against that. So the bigger metroplexes you are, the bigger you get. And same thing Eddie said too, like, it's not just carrying more stuff, but like, you need to go to do everything in that area and bring it with you. We've stopped using just regular vans going forward, like low top vans. And that was a big decision that we did going forward. And we're only going to go box trucks, and maybe we might have one high top, and then we'll do some trailer stuff. The second thing that you have to really look at too is processes.
Processes basically make things like go either smoother, or if you don't have them, it goes to hell, because you have nothing set in stone on how you do certain things. Prime example of this, I think, that's really helped us out is before we had the mindset of like, okay, we can only deliver on Saturday because that's when everybody wants their items. Now we have another process where basically we provide the rental item prior to their event. It'll be a day, 2 days, maybe even 3 days, depending on how busy we are. But now what that does is it allows us to do more events and lets us increase our success rate on them as well.
Yeah, and people like getting their stuff early. If someone's going to get mad of us for delivering their stuff a day early, we'll take that as on their review instead of we showed up, you know,
or late. Or never did.
Yeah, because then the thing is, when you show up late, everything you do after that gets nitpicked. People who generally wouldn't have cared before about certain little small things start bringing up a whole bunch of little things on everything, like how the driver came in there, if the driver said hey or hello, and all this stuff comes up. This right here is probably the biggest thing that most of you guys probably have issues with if you don't currently have a team, is employees.
Yes, employees are a very huge factor also of the business. Can't do everything, and that's why you need a team. So basically, the more deliveries that you have to get done, or more equipment you have to clean or answer the phone, is the bigger team that you're going to need, which you're going to need employees.
You need to make sure employees are trained, right?
Training is a key factor, because everything that is interpreted to one person may be different to another. So the good common ground is that to have everything in a training document or a video. That way the information is very clear on what should be done and how it should be done.
I have a story on an employee and how...
Steven?
No, not Steven. And how introducing new processes had actually affected that employee that I had not seen in the beginning. So to start off, just a little backstory. Whenever I was hired onto this team, I was the only person in the media team, and we didn't have any processes. So that was something that we had to work with. We didn't have any processes. So that was something that we really had to work on. And so once we started introducing processes, like reviewing the videos that our editors sent back just so that they could re-edit and so that everything is nice, that's when this employee who has been there with me since the beginning kind of started to shift in the way that he got feedback, or in a way that he accepted feedback. So because some of my team members review and provide feedback for these videos with me, whenever he would receive critiques from his other team members, he didn't take that well. He would kind of question the way that, you know, they want him to add certain things or delete certain things, or he'll just say outright, that won't look good, or I don't believe that would look good. And eventually it came to a point where it was between me and him arguing back and forth about what was looking good and what isn't. And it was because he just couldn't take criticism. And this wasn't something that he showed at the beginning, because at the beginning he did extra edits on all of our videos. But yeah, once we just brought up our processes, that's when I knew I just had to cut him. So he just didn't work out.
What would you have done in that situation? before the cutting part gets there.
Basically, if they can't, then it would really like put a spotlight on them. But when you don't have any kind of processes, you know, they can blend in and you can think like everybody's doing a great job. I probably would have tried talking to him, try to hold his hand through the journey of following the process. If he still pushes back, like, I'm not doing this, it's my way or the highway, then I would give him a very warm hug, then push him off the cliff and say goodbye. I just, yeah. No, but basically, you know, no one's above the system is what we say a lot. Even us, you know, shame on us. And when we do bad too, I get pointed out a lot, which is good because obviously, you know, everyone's holding everybody accountable.
So, Tina.
Yes.
Did you do these things?
Yes, I literally walked his hand through it. I was all like,
and you pushed him off the cliff?
I would back my other teammates. I'd be like, yeah, that would look good. And I would provide him like literally with a screenshot of the frame that they were talking about and then add whatever media that they were talking about. Because I remember this one time, like, because he used to always put every photos blasted on the screen, like, There was no just smaller photos. And so my team was talking about adding smaller photos so that it doesn't get in the way of you and Eddie's facial features or anything like that whenever you're talking or reacting to stuff. And he was all like, no, like that will look so ugly. Like, where would we place it? Like, I literally had to screenshot, add the little medias on it and show him like it can look good. And so afterwards, that's just how we ended up doing things.
So could you say the person's name?
His name is...
I know.
I knew it.
If you want to hear the name, join as a member on YouTube.
All right. And if capacity is your number one issue, please comment that word in the comments below.
The rental rundown.
The first question I have for everyone is, how do I become more efficient from an operational standpoint?
How do you get the work done, Eddie?
Fast and efficient. To be more efficient, you want to have an open pipeline. All the way from sales to the actual warehouse to delivery drivers, and then also for the people that do the follow-up as well after the event's done. So you just want like a circle of life where it starts off with the leads coming in, boop, and then the sales grabs the leads, and then they kill it, and they bring it down to the warehouse, and then the warehouse preps it, gets it ready for the delivery drivers. That way everybody just does what they need to do best, which is usually driving, warehouse prep. So it just makes things a lot more efficient. And it also increases the percentage of success rate.
Where can I go to find affordable equipment?
So depending on what equipment you're looking for, we have a couple of providers that we use on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a chair to the table one. So Flash Furniture has kind of been like our main go-to. They're kind of all over the country, different spots. And then the second one we use, which is kind of local to us, is Global Event Supply. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, which is Houston, which is Atlas. And yeah, basically Flash Furniture is Hercules. Where do we get our tents from, Eddie?
Our tents, we get them from Salina in Ohio.
And then throne chairs?
Throne chairs here locally at Chiseled Perfection in Dallas, Texas.
And then we do our dinnerware at a couple of different places. It's like
Webstron?
Yeah, Webstron. And then that other place that you find stuff at.
Pedro's, not this place.
Yeah, at whatever. Eddie has a spot that we get some of our stuff from. We have linens. We get them from Black Tie Linens or CV Linens, one of those two options, depending on which way we're kind of going with it. Maybe we'll have these linked down below too as well. But you can find more of our people, more of our things in the Ultimate Checklist as well. So now that you learn all these things right here, now you really need to use these things in a circle. So technically there's 5 points. We didn't talk about the warehouse point because we have that in another video. You can check that out after this video. Thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And I'm Tina.
We are the Rental Boys.
And One Girl.
And see you guys in the next one.
See ya.
All right, and if you like this video, please check out this playlist right here. And please comment, share, and subscribe so that we could continue growing.
Subscribe.